Well, hello, friends. It's me, your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, and you're listening to a particularly wild episode of the Broadway cast. Wild as in wild animals, that is. Well, people. Actors playing wild animals. Come to think of it, the animals in question are less wild and more highly sophisticated in a Hamlet Shakespearean sort of way. Anyway, what I am trying to say is that today is all about the game-changing icon that is The Lion King on Broadway. Since the very moment Julie Taymor's vision pounced onto the stage, it became an instant classic. Combining breathtaking puppetry and visuals with the authentic music and sounds of African styles woven through Elton John and Tim Rice's breathtaking score, The Lion King was easily the hottest ticket in town and shortly thereafter, the world. It's hard to believe that Simba and his pride have been on Broadway for a whopping 25 years. That's huge. Making it the third longest running show in Broadway history with absolutely no signs of slowing down. It has been seen by, get ready for it, over 110 million people worldwide and has grossed over $1 billion with a B, dollars at the box office. 232 puppets, 6 Tony Awards, including Best Musical, and countless imagination sparked. It is very safe to say the theater as a whole has been changed forever by the presence of The Lion King. Now, I have a confession to make just between us. It was far too many years before I actually saw The Lion King on Broadway after it opened. It took family coming to New York City for me to hit up some pals for house seats, and I thought, oh, this will be fun to witness the spectacle through a child's eyes. And then that opening number hit. Screw the kids. I didn't have any time to see it through their eyes. There was far too much to take in here, more to find than can ever be found, but the sun rolling high in the sapphire. Okay, wait, I seem to have gotten off track. I digress. The point is, it's legendary for a reason. It is that good. So I often wonder what it's like to be in the shows that I wouldn't and simply couldn't be cast in. So in honor of The Lion King's 25th anniversary on Broadway, I've assembled a small pride of my own today in the studio. We're welcoming current cast members from The Lion King, Benita Hamilton, Pearl Quasey, and the deliciously sinister Stephen Carlisle, to tell us what's been making audiences roar, see what I did there, for the past 25 years. Now, before we go into the Pride Land, I want to remind you to subscribe to our show so you never miss a single episode. Make sure you rate us, review us, share us with your friends, and by all means, follow us on social media at The Broadway Cast. Follow me at Ben Does Broadway. And if you'd like to support us even further and get content made just for you, yes, you can become a supporter on Patreon. All you got to do is click the link in our liner notes and you can support us right there. And we've got the goods for you. All right. Let's roar, my friends. It's time to go on with the show. And here we are in studio to celebrate The Lion King on Broadway 25th anniversary, which just boggles the mind for a Broadway show. It's absolutely bonkers and unheard of, except in very rare occasions. I'm very excited to welcome Benita Hamilton.
Hello.
Hi. Benita plays Shenzi in the show.
Yes.
Benita, was there a big splashy celebration that you all got to take part in for the 25th?
Are you kidding me?
It was the party
of all parties. Now, what happened at the party has to stay at the party.
I see. The mind
wanders.
But
the party was a party because we ran all through there.
Okay.
Okay.
Where was the party at?
It was at the Hall of Luminaires.
I don't know what that is, but that sounds like the most magical place ever.
Oh, it is.
The Hall of Luminaires?
Yes, and there were projections everywhere, and it was beautiful. It was stunning. It was stunning.
I have to tell you, I love graphics and logos for things, and I love kind of the update, the very glossy, shiny black with the gold that's kind of been put out there. It makes it feel very special. I'm glad you're here. We've got Pearl Quasey here with us.
Woo.
Nala.
Yes.
Nala in The Lion King. All right, full confession from my theater geek heart to you. To get in the spirit today, was coming down on the subway and was blasting Shadowland in my ears because that's the Song of Songs, if you ask me. No offense to anyone. But what a thrill to sing that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's epic.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And what a gift to hear her sing that song every night.
Oh, did you? Magical singing it.
Did you want to sing it right now?
Oh, no.
No, we'll
save that. We'll save
You've
that for the show.
A ticket,
we'll
it.
No, I'll sing it. Can I sing it?
Steven.
Actually, I sing it off stage.
Do you?
Because
yes,
at that moment,
does.
I'm coming off stage and I'm getting my costume taken off and I sing it, but I sing all the wrong lyrics because I don't know the lyrics. The dresser's going, she's feeding me the lyrics. Going, why do you not know this yet? Why do you not know this? But I think my lyrics are even better.
But you know, like,
can you give me a sampling?
Shadowland, the sea is water.
Now you know, Stephen. You know that's funny because I sing lyrics too. I sing Shadowland, the cheese is molded.
Unbelievable!
Don't listen to them.
The Shadowland.
That time I'm singing my heart out on stage while they're watching the lyrics backstage.
And then when Mufasa's singing, Rafiki's singing, Wait. Uh-huh. It's very spiritual.
Yes.
She goes, wait. And I go, wait. Yes. You know,
I love that stuff. Of course, this is Stephen Carlisle that we're talking to is Scar, but you knew that from the accent. You picked it up pretty quick, I bet, listeners. That, I'm glad you brought that up because, well, that's right. It's a very British sort of thing.
It's very
character.
British.
Yeah, I know.
Shakespearean.
Yes.
Okay.
Very.
I love those, the backstage antics and the things that nobody knows are happening. I remember I did this cross. I was in Wicked many, many years ago, and there was a cross during The Wizard and I, and it happened on When I'm with the Wizard, my whole life will change, and we would get into the wings. We had a whole doo-wop chorus that we would sing following that. Her whole life will change. Ooh, yeah. It was ridiculous. So I love those sorts of things. Tell me, before you guys went to Pride Rock, had your lives intersected, or did you meet within the cast of the show?
We met in the cast. Well, I did. I certainly met.
Yeah, I met everyone in the cast.
We met everyone in the cast. Mm. Pearl is our first South African Nala.
This is huge.
This is huge.
It is.
Huge.
Wow. Yes.
Well, okay. Well, we're there now, so you have to tell me how did that happen.
So I started in The Lion King in Madrid in the Spanish production of the show, and I was transferred from there to this production. And prior to that, I was in South Africa studying chemical engineering. And
no.
Yes, and here we are. Long story.
Okay, we'll get to that in a moment because that's... Wait, when you're doing the show in Spain, which is cool unto itself, I mean, how rad is that? That's right, rad.
Yeah.
But when you get the call to... Okay, we're going to talk about that later. It's too exciting. I'm bubbling up. We like to break the ice and play a bit of a game to get everybody loosened up when we go into the recording of the shows here. So today we are playing Animals in Broadway Musicals Trivia in honor of all the lions and animals in The Lion King. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to name a Broadway musical for you. The first person to jump in and name the animal or one of the animals that's featured in that show gets the point.
Okay.
The points are very important. And are worth over $4 billion. And there's extra points if you hum a couple bars from the show. Are you ready? Do you accept the challenge?
We accept.
Yes.
All right. Like the lions and hyenas you are, just rip into each other. Here we go.
Okay.
Annie.
Dog.
Oof.
Correct.
Sandy
is correct.
Wait,
absolutely.
Wait a minute.
$4 billion.
I didn't get the rules.
That's right. It's a dog. And if you get, name the dog as well. But correct.
I'm very competitive.
I see that now. That's becoming incredibly clear.
He's making out the rules as we go along.
Absolutely.
Yes,
I didn't know that was the rule until just now.
But we said we said the dog at the same time.
Okay.
And just
but you are correct. So each of you gets a point.
A point. Absolutely.
It's going to be very important that you have these points later on. Okay, this is easy. Cats. That's right. Name some.
Esmeralda.
Close.
Oh, Griselda.
It's a perfect blend of the two things you just said.
Esmeralda.
It's too late, Stephen. It's too late.
Grisabella. Oh,
That's the one. Boom. I wanted to do that thing they did like on Sesame Street a long time ago. They had the two words that mashed together.
Yes.
That's right. Okay, good.
Okay.
Grisabella is correct.
Yeah.
Frozen.
Olaf. Donkey.
Oh, my
donkey.
Shrek. He is a donkey.
Shrek.
Not Shrek.
Oh, no.
This is a Disney
show.
It's not a reindeer?
It's a reindeer.
It's a reindeer.
Right.
Point.
It's a reindeer named
Sven.
Yes, Sven. Mama. Yes.
Just to be clear, we split that point?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The points
are
split.
I'm just saying.
Half a point went into your bank and half a point into yours.
Okay.
The points mean nothing.
It's $4 billion.
Into the Woods.
Donkey.
Wolf. Josh correct. Henry.
That's right. Wolf
cow.
And cow.
I said cow first.
Wolf and cow. Absolutely.
White cow, isn't it?
Yes, it's a white. Milky white cow.
Milky white cow.
Absolutely.
Oh, well.
But yes, Wolf. Don't worry. You're
I named the character.
The cow.
You got the character.
Josh, you not only named the species, but the character.
Very good.
All in one fell swoop.
I'll take a huff.
You guys just let her win.
Yeah.
I'm getting nervous. This is a free for all. Have fun with this one. The Little Mermaid.
Fish.
Yeah.
Crab.
Yeah.
Sebastian.
Yes.
Oh,
Sebastian
my goodness.
The crab and all the
under
fish.
Under the sea. Under the sea. There
down
it
where
is.
It's wetter. Do well, lyrics count?
Huh? That counted. Okay. You got extra go. Points for singing from the show.
Thank
oh
you, Benita.
Oh, my gosh. We should find
girl.
Out what the points get you. Legally Blonde.
Dog.
Dog. Can you name a dog from Legally Blonde?
Oh, God.
No, it should fit in a purse.
Like a poo-poo.
It's a little
what's poo-poo. The name of the dog?
Bruiser.
Oh.
Bruiser
oh, it
Woods.
Is Bruiser.
It's a chihuahua
I know that.
Named Bruiser.
You see, I was close enough.
Very good.
That is some deeply gay information that I possess in my heart. So there's that. SpongeBob, the musical.
A starfish.
Yes.
Patrick.
Is a starfish.
Thank
correct.
You.
Ding, 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 ding. Oh.
And the thing with all the legs.
Yes.
The
Squidward.
The
tap
Squidward.
Squidward.
I got
correct.
It. There we go.
Yes. Yes. And that. He's
4 billion is on the line, Benita. Oh,
listen,
friendship's on
listen,
the side.
Oh my
Pearl.
Gosh. It's not just points now.
No.
It's
in that
human...
dressing room is they going to be rocking this.
We share a dressing room.
I mean, I share a corridor, and that's
I
bad
take
enough.
Death threats
you're
daily.
You're going to have to hear the fallout.
Yeah.
Down
so
the way.
How many points?
We scrap it out in
okay,
there.
Okay, well now we've got 3 million points, 2.5 million points.
Thank
and
you.
Steven, you've got 9 million points.
All right.
Thank
you. You're a good man, Charlie Brown.
Dog.
Yes.
Snoopy. Mangle.
That's right.
Ha.
Ha ha.
You called the beagle. You
I
said
played,
the dog.
I played Snoopy.
Oh.
In Snoopy the Musical.
Oh, how fun.
In London.
I need pictures.
Is that
oh, please.
Supper
time?
I
actually produced it.
Wow.
You produced
did
it and starred in it?
Yeah.
That's one way to go.
I think you know yeah, someone.
I had to. Nobody was giving me any work.
What's happening?
Listen, that's really what my career has become. You know what? I need something to be in where people will look at me. Here we are. Welcome to my play. And finally, Wicked.
Monkeys.
Oh.
So many monkeys. There's a monkey named Chistri. What other animals in there?
Goat.
That's right.
The teacher.
Yes.
You were the goat.
I was not.
Oh.
You could be the goat.
I want to do a...
He is
yeah.
the goat.
You
thank
are
you.
The goat.
Thank you.
Do you know what's funny about that? I wanted to do like a return to Wicked moment and start a grassroots social media campaign called Ben Does Dillamond, where everyone like signs a petition or like donates 2 cents to a GoFundMe, and I get to go back and play the goat.
Mm. Oh.
If you're listening, Stephen Schwartz,
absolutely.
That's the plan. Yeah. All right. Well done. With all of your points, you get thank to be you. In The Lion King on Broadway.
Yay!
Ding, ding, ding. Let's talk about your first Disney memories. Mm-hmm. As a child, I would imagine. When was your first exposure to the magic of Disney? Was it a theme park moment? Was there a particular film that you saw that awoke your love for Disney, if there was some, yeah.
So mine was a theme park moment.
Okay.
And my grandpa, I grew up in Montgomery, Alabama.
Okay.
And my grandparents, my cousins would come down from Detroit and Chicago, and we would all be there for the summer. You know, they'd dump the kids off in
sure.
the country for the summer, whatever.
Yeah.
And my grandparents would rent a 15-passenger van, and we would drive from Montgomery to Orlando. And we would go and cut the absolute fool in the Magic Kingdom.
Oh
and my
gosh.
Grandfather would get so angry. We called him Gramps. But it was so much fun. It was bonding. It
uh-huh.
was magical. It was
yeah.
Mickey. It was the rides, the teapot
yes,
where
yes.
I threw up, you
hey,
know. And
that's,
it
a
was,
rite, that's a rite of passage.
That is.
Uh-huh.
It's a rite of passage.
Then have
and
a Dole Whip and move on.
There you go.
Absolutely.
And
I'm a big Disney nut. Even to this day, when I go to Disney World
yeah.
or Disneyland with my friends, people think that we're wildly intoxicated because we're just so excited.
Hi, yeah.
We're just so hopped up on Disney magic. Maybe we were drunk. Who knows? Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Pearl?
It had to be the Lion King cartoon when it came out, the movie.
Yeah.
I was struck by the... Nah, I was like, wait a minute. So where I grew up in South Africa.
Yeah.
And so I was hearing my language in a cartoon and
wow.
I was very confused. What's going on? It was so cool. And yeah, I just fell in love with Timon and Pumbaa and I'd watch it going to school. So yeah, that was
that has to be really kind of wild for a kid in South Africa to hear that and go, wait a minute.
Yeah,
hold up. This isn't in any of the other cartoons
yes.
anywhere.
We Are Seen.
Wild.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love, yes, We Are Seen.
We Are Seen.
I love that.
We felt recognized in the world.
Mm. Oh. Yes. And not only that, not only recognized, but celebrated because everyone loves this so much. And it exposed so many people to that. What about you, Stephen?
Well, then.
Yes.
I have two brothers. One is called Glenn. The other, my youngest brother, called Jack. Okay, so he's about 2 years younger than me. So I loved The Jungle Book. Like, I really loved it. I watched it over and over and over. I knew all the lyrics very early on. He loved The Lion King.
Okay.
He loved, and we used to play on our landing. Do we call it landings?
What would a landing?
You know, a staircase, and then you've got a bit of a sort of
yes, it
balcony,
is a landing.
Like okay. a balcony. Yes. Oh, it's a landing.
It's a landing.
Sure. You said it wasn't, didn't exist, but now it does exist.
It's at the bottom of the stairs?
It's at the top of the stairs. No, it's at the top of the stairs, the landing at the top of the stairs.
It's wherever Dolly Levi appears.
And I would be Scar. Yeah, okay. And he would beat Mufasa, and I would grab him, and I'd chuck him down
what?
The staircase Steven. Saying, long live the king, and then tumble, tumble, tumble.
It makes sense,
until
though.
My mum...
He's been
does.
A villain forever.
Yeah,
it's always been in me.
That is wild.
Yeah, and then I was told maybe I shouldn't do it anymore.
Because of the potential injury?
And yeah, his back breaking and all that.
Yeah.
It wasn't ideal.
He didn't break his back, did he?
Steven.
We won't talk
no,
about
he didn't.
That. That's...
Steven.
But also,
that's
no.
another podcast.
Also, he was a very grumpy.
You're so method.
He was a very grumpy little boy. Yeah.
Yes.
Started then.
He's a very grumpy little boy. And the only way I get him to smile is to sing the bare necessities to him.
Oh,
like, look for the bare necessities, the simple, on the sofa. And then he'll start giggling.
That's so.
So Disney was a big part of our.
That's very, very
lives.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. When did you then get theatrical dreams or bit by the theater bug?
Okay, so I always wanted to be the next Oprah Winfrey. Oh. So I went, you know, when I was in high school, I was a DJ at the popular radio station in
that.
Town in Montgomery, Alabama, WQIM, Magic 95. That's where I started.
Okay.
Uh-oh, I'm not supposed to do that, am I?
You can do that.
Okay, well, here we go.
I'm sure they're
no, they're
on
no
the
longer. They're defunct.
Network somewhere.
They're defunct.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
When
to
I
that.
Left, they left. Anyway.
There was no reason to go on. Don't be ridiculous.
No, but I wanted to be the next Oprah Winfrey. I got bit by the bug. And I went to the Alabama State University, and I studied communications. Well, I was working at the Piercing Pagoda in the Montgomery Mall. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Product placement, maybe?
Absolutely. I know the Piercing Pagoda.
Yes.
Just down from Claire's.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. But a little bit more upscale, maybe.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
With
cool
me
kids.
Piercing earrings. Uh-huh. So I was there and I was on my lunch break in the Montgomery Mall. And my mentor, my professor, her name is Dr. Tommy Tania Stewart. She was in the mall and I was eating my orange chicken for lunch. And she saw me and she was walking with Mr. Horton. And she said she would make a good Dina.
Ooh, I heard that. I heard the Dream Girls in that.
Yes. And I said, And so she said, do you sing? I said, yeah, I sing in church. She said, I want you to come to this audition. And I went to the audition at Alabama State, and I heard everybody singing, and I ran out of the door. Somebody stopped me, pulled me back in. I'm doing long story short here. And I went in, I sang, I did my sides. And the next
Did you sing from the show?
I sang from the show. Okay. I sang, And I Am Telling You.
Sure. Yeah.
And of course.
Subtle.
And, very subtle. And the next day, the cast list went up. I had no theatrical experience, and I was cast as Dina Jones in Dream Girls.
Wow.
Yes.
So
it's wonderful.
From that point on, were you like,
this is it. And I never went back to that communication building again.
Yeah.
I lived my life in the theater.
Yeah.
And but although I did go back to because I got my degree in public relations.
Oh, cool.
But most of my time was spent in the theater. Like I would say 85% of my time was spent in the theater.
Mm. Yeah, that's the safe place. Once you find your home, you find your home.
Your tribe, your village, your home. And to this day I still speak to Dr. Stewart about any professional any professional endeavor that I'm about to take on. She is my heart, and she guides me. She guided me when I booked Lion King, and that's a really funny story.
I want to hear about it.
Yes.
We're going to get there.
Absolutely.
For sure. I also think that's pretty heady stuff to be your first musical happens to be Dreamgirls and you just happen to be Dina Jones. That is...
Major.
That's major.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
but
yeah.
She's Bonita Hamilton.
No. No. They didn't let me be Dina Jones for my
but
first
you
show.
You really could have been Dina Jones, though.
Well, listen, in my apartment at about 3 a.m. with a hairbrush, maybe.
With a hairbrush.
Pearl, how about you in South Africa?
Well, it was in high school. I was in a school choir, and our conductor told us about a Hairspray production that was being done in Durban, which is a city an hour away. I was 15 years old.
I'm sorry, I'm going to go completely off topic here.
Yes.
Is Durban, where is that the Durban that this new Housewives is at?
Yes. Oh, my
the
goodness, you know that.
Durban.
Is there a Housewives
yes.
of Durban?
Oh,
there
yes.
is. And I
oh,
saw
yes.
it, and I didn't
oh,
know if it,
it
was.
It.
I had no idea what was going on because I didn't know where that was, but now I do.
That's Durban. That's
okay.
Durban.
All right.
So that's a city on the east coast of South Africa.
Must be fancy, yeah.
Very fancy.
Yes, yes.
And so I came from a small town, Margate, and I was like, okay, when I heard about this, I'd done a musical theater production at school. And I was like, this sounds interesting. And he was talking about it, but it felt impossible because it was an hour away. I'm 15 years old. How am I going to convince my mother to do this? But I remember there was one other lady in the room, another girl in the room that was looking at him the way that I was looking at him. And I said, ooh, if she can convince her mom and I can convince my mom, we can get this done and together we'll make it work. And I remember it was 2010. This gives away how young I am. It was 2010 and we spent... It was the World Cup in South Africa, and we spent 2 months living alone as teenagers in an apartment that our parents got for us, and they'd come check in on us. And yeah, I did the Hairspray production in South Africa, and I knew that this is something I need more of.
Mm.
And so I kept doing those. Yeah.
Pearl, that's incredible. You never told me that.
Yeah, we should talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. But somewhere in there was chemical engineering,
yes.
too. Somewhere in there. We'll get back to that. Well, so you were on the couch obliterating
I was,
your brother.
Yes, tying him up. You will listen to me.
I love a captive audience. Literally.
Yeah, in a back brace.
Yeah.
Bottom of the stairs. Gosh, I don't know. So many sort of moments. I started in the amateur world, you know, doing local stuff. But I think growing up, I was watching a guy called Michael Crawford, who ended up being the Phantom of the Opera.
For sure.
You know, but before that, he was a huge sort of comedy star on television in something called Some Mothers Do Have Him. And he used to play a clown called Frank Spencer. And I used to watch him in this thing, the hilarious thing I've ever seen. Hilarious. And then suddenly he was playing the Phantom of the Opera. And I just love that score. I love listening. And I just thought, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to be, you know. Whatever that is, you know, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm kidding. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, I went to drama school. But the other thing was I was auditioning for Mottl the Tailor in Fiddler on the Roof for the local.
Tailor Mottl Comes Oil.
Yeah.
Sure.
For, you know, for the local amateur dramatics, which my mum was in, happened to be on this, you know, she had started.
Okay.
And I got in, and I didn't know if I was any good, but I was auditioning in front of the old headmaster of my school, my primary school, Mr. Brian Thwaites. And he said, that's very, very good. And on the first day of rehearsal, everybody was in a big circle. My mum was there. And he got to my song and he said, look, can everyone just close their scores, please? And just close your eyes and listen to this. And I thought, what does that mean? Anyway, so I sang. Benita's like, what's going on here? I'm just reminding myself of what actually happened.
I'm just so enthralled with this story, and you're getting more and more British as you talk about it.
Oh, am
because
I?
It's the sense memory.
I'm going
it's
back
the sense
to
memory.
Devizes.
I feel like
I'm going
we're...
back to Devizes, the little church hall, and like you're talking about like our first sort of exposure. And I'd never sang in front of anyone ever in my life, and I love singing. That's what I wanted to do, you know, when I grew up. It was. I don't know. Quite a moment. My mum cried.
So they all cried. Yeah. They all closed their eyes and you did Wonder of Wonders?
Wonder of Wonders, Miracle of Miracles. Yeah, so I did that. And then I think it was that moment I thought, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. Even if I don't ever earn any money,
yes.
whatever
yes.
I do,
yes.
you know, I could work in like wherever I garden, decorate, whatever I have to do, this is where I want to put myself. You know,
yeah, I think is when we get to be professionals in this, it's so wonderful to remember those moments and remember when we would have done any of this for free.
Yes.
Yeah. We would have done it just for the joy of getting to sing and strut our stuff. Mm. And it's so nice to remember that. Because, you know, sometimes nothing can take the joy out of something like needing it for a paycheck, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So now let's jump into, we know this is what we want to do, heady stuff. Had you then seen The Lion King on stage before it came into your life?
I had the opportunity to see The Lion King at the Pantages Theater in Los Angeles, California. Mm. And my friend Fuchsia Walker was playing Rafiki.
Okay.
And she invited me out. And I'd never been to LA. And I supported her. And I was in my first year of graduate school at Brandeis University. And I saw our resident director, Rufus Bond, play Mufasa.
Oh, wow.
And it was the most beautiful portrayal of Mufasa that I had ever seen.
Mm.
And Fuchsia was wonderful, you know, that was my girl. And I sat in that audience and I watched the wonder of those performers. And I said, I don't know, first year of graduate school, I don't know who I could be in this show. I don't know what I could do because the dance was amazing.
Yeah.
The singing was amazing. The acting was superb. I said, I don't know where I would fit. I don't know if I'm good enough, but I have to be in this show. Mm. And I went back to Brandeis and I told my teachers about my experience. And 2 months out of grad school, I booked The Lion King on Broadway.
Wow.
Had you seen it before it called you?
No. The first time I saw it, it was in Spanish. I was in Madrid.
Right.
I didn't even know really that there was a Lion King production going on in the world at all until it was close to the time where the audition would find me. I was studying chemical engineering at the time, and I remember walking out of an exam and saying to a friend of mine, I don't want to do this. My biggest fear is graduating from this and having to do this for the rest of my life.
Wow.
And I said to her, you know what, maybe I should, you know, I feel like doing something crazy, like going to audition for The Lion King or whatever is out there. And I didn't know at the time that it was actually really possible. And about maybe a month from there, I saw an ad on my Facebook, which I didn't know was listening to me or I don't know what happens with those things. But there was a lady that had posted an audition notice, and I said, oh, and it said, do you have a big voice? Do you love to sing? And I forgot what else. I said yes to all three. Mm. And I was there at the morning of the audition. I had a chemistry exam to write. We don't know how that exam went, but the audition went well. So the first time I saw the show was in Madrid. And I didn't speak a word of Spanish when I got there. And it didn't matter at all when the show started.
Mm.
I understood everything that was going on, not just because I'd watched the cartoon growing up, but the way that the artists on stage portrayed that show. I remember the Rafiki changed my perspective on music and acting entirely. Wow. Entirely. Her name is Zama Makutulela. Unbelievable. And I think my favorite moment in that show was when Mufasa had died and she mourned for Mufasa.
Mm-hmm.
I had... Ooh.
Just guttural, right? It's just so...
Unbelievable. Guttural, powerful, delicate, and so authentic. So real.
Yeah.
And to hear my language. And at the time, I had been... So I flew from Durban to South Africa. I was 21, 22 years old at the time. And I remember I cried all the way to Dubai after saying goodbye to my family and everyone. Mm. And when I got to Dubai, I said, okay, it's enough crying. We're not leaving now. We're going. And so I got excited about the new chapter. And so when I got there and I heard my language being spoken for the first time since I left South Africa in that way, wow.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
That is so funny, wow. Pearl. When I booked the show, right after my audition for the show, my third callback, I got on the subway and boo-hooed like none other. Mm. And I didn't know why I was crying. Mm. I didn't know.
Mm.
Isn't that something?
Because the words you feel, there's something.
Okay, I play Shenzi. We chowing down. So the words are, you know. But I can't.
I feel like that's just an elevated soul experience, especially considering when you saw it in Los Angeles and you went, I don't know how I'm part of this, but my soul needs to be a part of this. That's overwhelming.
Yes.
That's your life catching up with the, I don't know, we could turn into a Oprah Soul Sunday moment.
Yeah, we might just cry.
Yeah. That's powerful stuff. Mm. Did you cry when you got the call?
I did more than cry. When I got the call, I was rushing through my emails trying to find an email to submit an assignment. Long story.
For chemistry.
For chemistry.
Yeah.
And I had my lab coat ready to go do something. And when I saw that, it was El Rey León, Madrid. And I said, wait a minute. Guys, you're going to... And we were doing it in a group. I said, you guys, can you carry on with the rest of this? I had to go home and cry. Because the kind of crying I was going to do.
The ugly cry.
Story. Tears could mix with the wrong element.
Yes, so I went to my apartment. I cried. I called my friends. Each one of them came in and bawled their eyes out with me. It was just an experience.
I'm just thinking about from the moment you first saw the cartoon and heard the language and the music to moment. That's overwhelming.
Yeah.
That's exciting. How about you, Stephen?
Well, I feel bad. The beautiful stories. And the thing is, I didn't see it. I hadn't ever seen it. It came out when I was at drama school. And of course, it was a huge hyped up thing, as it should have been. But you know, it's like at drama school, I was way too expensive to go to the theatre. I didn't go to see big shows, you know, when I was there. And then, you know, when you get out of drama school, life just takes over. And then, you know, you go and see things that you're absolutely right for. And there weren't any parts. Scar was way too old for me. So, I just never got to see it. And it wasn't until like maybe 15 years later, I was doing a compilation album at Abbey Road Studios for this thing. Whatever.
Beatles.
Sorry.
Come on.
And my agent was there and I was singing... the King Herod song from Jesus Christ Superstar, Jesus, I'm overjoyed to meet you face to face. And I was doing that, and the agent said, oh my God, if you ever go up for The Lion King, you have to sing this song. And I said, well, get me an audition. Anyway, he couldn't get me the audition because the casting director thought I wasn't right. I was too young. I was about 28 at the time. Too young. Anyway, he became a nuisance. He kept phoning up the casting director. And the casting director one day just picked up from the assistant. The assistant was on the phone to my friend. The casting director picked up the phone and said, Stuart, he is not right. Don't ask me again. And slammed down the phone. And then we fast forward like 5 years. And then the tour's going out in the UK. Okay. The big tour has never toured the UK. Big tour. Julie's coming over. It's all. Big, big, big.
If Julie's coming in, it's a big deal.
She's coming in. She is coming. And they said, they weren't going to see me. But the assistant had seen me in a play on tour, physical comedy, all that, years and years and years before, said to the casting director, you have to see him. You have to see him. And right at the last minute, the last week, she crowbarred me into that audition. The casting director came up and said, whatever you do, go for the comedy. Go for the comedy. So I walked in. Anyway, whatever. And then I sang the song, Jesus Christ Superstar. And the director at the end stood up and said, so you are Scar. You are Scar. What? Why have I never seen you before?
Oh my gosh.
And I thought I wasn't looking at the cast, but I was like that. Anyway, but the point was, had I seen the show before? No, but I told them I had when I walked in. I said, I've seen it. Oh my God, it's such a wonderful show. Because I didn't want to be disrespectful. I haven't seen it. But also, I didn't want to see it at that time because I didn't want to have any ideas of how to play it.
Right.
And then they said, oh, here's a mouse and here's a mask. And I thought, what? A mouse and a mask? What do I do with that? But I just made it up. And they were like, oh, this is very unique. Very unique. Julie was, this is very unique. And I thought, is it? Is it? Does not everyone else
I'm
do
not
it
sure
like
if,
this?
They gave you a mask and a mouse?
For the final audition. So this is on the Monday. So the Monday, I'm just doing my thing, doing my song, doing everything else. They didn't hear Be Prepared. I walked out and I thought, oh, they didn't hear Bieber, but they're all going, oh, this is perfect. This is perfect. You're hired. And I walked out, I hadn't done the song. So I thought, oh, they're just doing the thing. They're just saying to get me out the door. And then they phoned up and then they said, you've got to come back tomorrow. They didn't hear the song. So anyway, I went back. And then the Tuesday I was seen again, I sang the song. And then on Friday, I was in front of Julia Taymor and the whole Disney crew, like 20 people. Everybody was there. And then they gave me a mask and a mouse.
Listen.
And they're like, ah, what? And a cane.
Oh,
God. And I was like, and then, yeah. So I just was sort of there making it up. But
how thrilling and terrifying.
It was terrifying.
But thank God for the physical comedy chops.
Michael Crawford. Thank God. It was channeling Michael Crawford.
Yeah.
Michael Crawford. But the other point is I just had an audition for something else, or another show, and I'd seen the production just beforehand by accident. And I went in and I was just thinking about that. So, you know, and I did it too like the person. And I wasn't being authentic. Mm. I wasn't being my authentic self.
Mm. Always be your authentic self.
And I went in and I had no preconceptions of what this was, you know, and I was just authentic. And it was, you know, whatever. And now here, you know, I did the tour for 2 years and then I got a call to come to Broadway.
That is.
And that's, once again, heady stuff.
Heady. Mm.
Very heady stuff. The Broadway word. The Broadway word is very exciting.
Yeah.
Isn't
Broadway
it?
World is, well, especially when you're from London as well.
Yes.
You know, and then you'll go on tour and then suddenly 3 years later, you're here on Broadway and you're walking out onto that amazing stage, the Minskoff Theatre, you know, where everyone has been before.
Mm-hmm.
I pinch myself. Yeah.
Yeah.
That scar. He likes a bit of self-harm.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Don't go to the dark side. Yep.
Did you get in Final Callbacks? Did you get masks to play with?
Listen.
The like? I have not heard of this.
I had it. Okay, so my audition for The Lion King was the same day that I had my audition for The Color Purple. Mm. So I went into my audition all wrong. Let's just start there. I walked in because I wanted to audition for Shug Avery. So I had on a halter top and a skirt and some high heels. And I was doing the thing, honey. And I walked in and Mark Brandon said, okay, Shinzy ain't cute. Kick them heels off. Oh. I said, oh, okay. So I kicked the heels off. We did the sides. Because for whatever reason, just like you, Stephen, my concentration was on something else.
Yeah.
So I did the sides. And Mark looked at me. And he said, you know what? I'm going to call you back. And I said, oh, okay. He said, but lose the heels. Mm. So I left there. I went to the Color Purple audition. I sang, did my thing there. And then I got back to Brooklyn. The callback was in the same day. Mm. So I went to Brooklyn. I changed into a white T-shirt, some khakis, some Chuck Taylors, and I wrapped my braids up into some Nala knots. Mm. I got back on the train because I moved to New York, but I didn't know how to navigate the subway system. So my husband and his mother were helping me. And because I'd never, you know, I was working in Albany at the Capitol Rep doing Ain't Misbehaving. So I came back to the second audition. I sang for the creatives and they said, well, she's not shy. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not. And then I left there and went. They said, we're going to call you back. My mother-in-law worked across the street. I went to her. I said, they're calling me back again, Mommy. This is my third callback. And she gave me a piece of peppermint in my hand, mm-hmm. and she prayed over me. Oh. And she said, go get your job.
There you go.
And I said, okay. Now, what I didn't tell you was on that subway ride back and forth to Brooklyn, that's when I was bawling.
Mm.
Like, because I didn't know what was happening. My life was changing.
You felt it.
I had $1.63 in the bank, literally, okay? And I tell people that because I don't want them to get discouraged. Mm-hmm. I want them to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
I got back to that third audition, which was the puppet audition. Now, my whole Southern accent came out because I put that puppet on, and I was so awful in that puppet.
Just as far as how to move it and operate?
Just as far as everything under the sun.
Okay.
Okay. And
full puppet meltdown.
Yes. But I was trying. Listen, yes. I had my poker face on. And my puppet is a harness. and it wraps over, and that's a huge head. And then I have these steel legs. They were. I still have my same legs that I started the show with because I do not want to. They're special to me because anyway, but I put that puppet on, and he's Stephen Minning. He said, "Okay, you know what? Can you just take the puppet off and crawl?" And I said, "Gladly," and I sure can. You know, because in grad school, it's yes until you have to say no.
Yes.
I said, I absolutely can. And I took it off and I crawled. And he said, thank you, Miss Hamilton. And I said, thank you. And I walked out the door and the door closed. And I think I was the only person that had never done the show before when I auditioned.
Oh,
because it was a replacement.
Wow.
Yes.
So they were bringing in people who had done it before.
Yes.
Ooh.
And I had an experience in the lobby with someone. And I said, oh, my gosh, are you off book? And she said, of course I'm off book. I've done over 1,000 performances of the show.
Oh. She wanted you to know.
She said, I originated the role in this particular country.
Oof.
I won't say the country because we're going
like
to be
that.
Sweet.
Wow.
And I said,
it wasn't Spain.
Right, it wasn't Spain. I said, oh, okay, all the best. And when she walked in and came out and she was singing, I said, girl, you sounded amazing. So when I took that puppet off, crawled, and he said, thank you, Miss Hamilton, and I walked out of the door, I closed the door and I made sure that it was good and shut.
Mm.
And I said, ooh, child, this is one job I do not have to get. That puppet, I had never felt anything so foreign on my body.
What a crazy element.
You should see her now with it.
And I'm, huh?
You should see her now with it.
She's one. She's fused with these legs.
We are one.
Yeah.
We are one.
That's why I'd love the actress in the lobby trying to throw you off.
Listen, can you imagine?
Oh, I can. Oh, I can imagine.
And I was fresh out of grad school. I was like, "What is this?
Psychological warfare." Up in there.
I said, "How dare you?" And then she just recently came to see me in the show.
We're inching Broadway. Our way to a name, aren't we?
We are.
We're going to get a name soon.
And her name. I love Heather Headley. It wasn't Heather Headley.
It was not Heather.
No, we take that to heart.
Yes.
Well, and...
And that's the tea.
Who's having the last laugh?
And the shade, darling.
And the shade.
Or as Stephen Carlisle laughs.
Is that your scar laugh?
Could you that's my normal laugh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's quite a bully. She comes into my room. She's opposite in my room.
This hallway is going to be on fire.
Listen, every night.
Every night.
Buy a ticket.
There's a show backstage.
There is a show backstage.
I love the show backstage.
Yes.
Everyone is in love with the music that we got to enjoy in the movie. Some of the greatest musical moments in the show were created for the stage production, and I think a lot of that is with the South African music coming in. What was the experience of trying to learn and operate in that specific style that was maybe not foreign to you in any way, shape, or form? Did you feel like musically it felt very comfortable, or was there a learning curve in getting it out there?
The learning curve was in fusing the music that I was accustomed to with the movement of the show.
Uh-huh.
We have a lot of Javanese?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Javanese.
Javanese movement, and it's really not natural to me, and I had to sort of learn it. And being as athletic as Nala has to be,
yes,
while doing, you know, she will run, she'll bounce off the walls of the stage and then sing like she wasn't just running.
Yes.
And
yes.
That was an adjustment that I had to make. And I was like, okay, we can do this. But learning the song, I just had to listen to it and I could feel where it was going because I understand the music of my culture. Mm. And so that was helpful.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the little black girl from the South trying to learn South African language?
That's exactly what I would like to talk about,
okay.
Please.
Well, let's talk about it. That Ingonyama Nangwe Namabala threw me for 10,000 loops.
Really?
Because what I was hearing is what everybody else hears. Pink pajamas, penguins on the bounce.
Yeah.
Penguins,
you know, in pajamas.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm famous for being in the choir. Okay, I'm letting the secret out. And when I don't know the lyrics, I sing watermelon.
Mm.
Like watermelon, watermelon. And nobody knows if you don't know the words.
Absolutely. Raspberry, watermelon.
I wanted to honor the language. I did not want to disrespect the language, because once I learned that and still to this day, people don't know that we're speaking South African languages. We speak Zulu, Sotho, Xhosa.
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 Close.
Okay, don't do that. Swahili and English, you know.
Yeah.
And because we were at a talk back, and the lady was like, what are y'all saying when y'all singing yama nama 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 nama? And I had to correct her.
Yeah.
And she will.
And I got her right together. Nice Disney way.
Yes.
In a Disney way.
In a Disney way.
That's important.
Absolutely.
But you don't want to disrespect the language. You want to honor the language. And so it took me a little while, but Carl was patient with me. And then, you know, my accent gets in the way sometimes. But I'm good now. Pearl and Sidi are teaching me South African.
Yes. She has posted notes on her mirror.
Yes.
Of very important words. And every now and again, I point at those words and she will use them in context.
Yes.
And you use it in a sentence.
Absolutely.
Kind of moment. What are some of your words?
Tula Wena.
Which means?
Can we say shut up?
Yeah.
I think we just did.
Oh, well.
And what else do
what
I say?
What does your name mean?
Oh.
What does my name mean?
Yes.
My name, Shenzi means Swahili, mischievous in Swahili.
Oh.
No, but your real name, Benita.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
So, and your name is?
So we have the same name. My first name is Ntombenhle, which means beautiful lady, basically Benita.
Oh, wow.
Come through, Pearl.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yes.
Wow. So she's learning. She's learning her name.
Stephen, what does your name mean?
It means really handsome, gorgeous, talented.
I think I got a mug at a truck stop once. You know, there's a mug that will say like your name and then like what it means. Yeah. I think it was blessed.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
But
yes.
It's probably a bold-faced lie.
But I don't sing anything else. I just speak, you know, the English.
The King's English.
Yeah.
But I want to know the challenges physically for you with the costumes. And,
yeah, because I've got this huge costume. It's 40 pounds in weight, and I've got this.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got motors and backpacks and a remote control that's linked with Bluetooth, you know, that sort of manipulates the puppet up and down.
No, I don't know. No, we
you
don't
did
know.
Not know.
No,
well,
tell me
you
about
for
that.
For the first time.
That's delicious.
Well, you know, and that's what happened. It took me like, you know, basically, I mean, I had 6 weeks to learn how to do it in front of a video camera. You'd do it, and then you'd sort of watch the video, and say, how can I get this right? And it takes a long time. They're very clumsy as well, because they're there, and you've got claws on, and you know, and you quite often have to sort of lift the child Simba up, and put him on your lap, things like that. And so things get in the way. So it's all about it's the thumb and control ballet, you know, where you're going to put it at any one time. So there's all sorts of things going on. There's puppetry, there's the words, the singing, the dancing, the thumb ballet. And
do you think when you're first learning this that there's just no? Because now we're talking about learning 900 different languages, literally and figuratively, to take this on. Do you have that moment you're like, this will never click?
Yes. Of course.
Yeah. And then now it's very second nature to you,
I think it took about a year until like you really felt like you were breathing with the puppet, you know, like you could do anything. And then you think you've got it to a standard. And then the next day you think of something new and think, my God, what have I been doing for the last year?
Year,
you know, this is like, wow. And it's different, you know, it depends on the weather and the mood and the, I don't know, something, the heat and the temperature in the theatre is always slightly different. So you're playing, you know, and it's another way of keeping the whole thing alive, you know, after, you know, when you're doing performance after one, everything's just slightly different.
When you have to be so present, I would imagine.
Yes,
you've got to operate that stuff correctly.
You know, one thing about Stephen Carlisle is that I'll watch him from backstage.
Yes.
And with all that he's got going on, that headpiece, anything can happen with that.
Yes.
Mm. And I once told him, I said, my favorite thing is when there's a malfunction of sorts. And the way he just uses it.
Oh, gosh.
I've seen him. I'm going to put your business out there. I've seen the head fall off.
Yeah.
It never falls off. Nothing bad ever happens.
Ever. No.
But there's a moment.
However,
but there's a moment he picked up the head and looked at it. And he said a line that's, why does no one love me?
Very Shakespearean.
Nobody loved me.
Oh my gosh. That's improvised? That's not in the script?
It's in the script.
It's in the script, yeah. But you just cradled your own head. And
yes.
Yeah. That's so meta. That's of a Hamlet.
Yes.
Incredible.
It was wonderful to see, but when that head fell off and we were out there singing and the head popped off and I looked back at him, I almost screamed.
Yeah.
Oh, but he makes it so beautiful.
It's beautiful, though.
You're very kind.
One of my favorite things of all time in live theater is when people's wigs fall off. It's my favorite because nothing will take you out of your suspension of disbelief quite like somebody's entire scalp leaving their body. I just think that's the funniest thing.
Well, imagine the head.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're like, oh, but when you do it like that, I bet a bunch of people thought that was
it's in the
show.
That's the trick, isn't it?
Just curious. You mentioned 6 weeks that you had. With that, is that because there's so many elements to this? I think about a standard Broadway rehearsal for a long-running show would maybe be 2 weeks, three weeks, four.
It's because I started on the UK tours. It's a brand new show, so we did a four-week rehearsal process in the rehearsal room, and then a two-week technical rehearsal. And that was great because when people are figuring out the lights and the costumes and stuff, I had time to play with the puppets.
Yeah. How long was the rehearsal process for you in total?
Oh, I do not remember because I started doing, I think maybe about 2 weeks. I think I blocked it out. I think I did 2 weeks of the ensemble because I started out in the ensemble here on Broadway. And then I did some Nala rehearsals for I don't know how long. But I do remember seeing the Simba-Nala fight for the first time and being told what I was supposed to do. I don't know why it didn't register to me that this was part of something that I needed to do, run and jump on a running man without touching his shoulders and wrap my legs around his chest while he spins around me. Yeah. Spins around with me, scratching at his head. I said,
I'm sorry, it sounded like you said I'm supposed to jump on him with no arms and scratch at his head.
Yes.
Surely not.
And the Simba at the time that I was working with, Cal Lamar Mitchell, who was my very first Simba that I worked with, he was about 6 feet tall, and they just said, run and jump onto him. Mm. How? And I called a friend of mine. I said, girl, I signed a contract. I said, I'd do this. And they said, I must do this. And I laughed at myself. And I gathered myself and threw myself at him. I did kick him in the chest with my knee my first try. And
since we've got Stephen's head falling off, because I love them so much, what are your biggest onstage mishap moments?
Oh, God. It wasn't really my mishap, but it was James Brown Orleans' mishap. Uh-huh. He plays Bonsai.
Put him out there.
I'm gonna put him out there. But
JBO.
This story. His name is. We call him J-Bo.
J-Bo.
This story goes down in Lion King lore. Now, everybody in this particular incident was safe, and we laughed about it after it happened.
Okay. Disclaimer.
Disclaimer.
No actors were harmed.
No actors were harmed. No set pieces were harmed. And everybody came out good. We were doing Be Prepared. We were downstage, all three of us. They were moving the set pieces behind us. And the set pieces just got a little bit too close and bumped J-Bo, and he fell into the pit.
Oh.
Well, there is a steel rod that connects the proscenium to the audience and the stage. Somehow, J-Bo was agile enough to find his feet on this rod. He scaled the rod, jumped into the audience, ran up on stage, and said his line and mine because I couldn't say a word.
J-Bo.
Slow clap. Oh.
Yeah.
Yo.
That's cat-like reflexes is what that is.
Yes. And when we got off stage, I said, J-Bo! J-Bo, what the hell? And he said, what, baby? We're good. I'm good. I said, do you know what just happened, J-Bo? Because he blacks out. I said, do you know what happened? I said, you fell in the pit and then fell in the audience and then ran upstage and then said my line.
J-Bo.
I don't know. J-Bo for president.
J-Bo is a superhero. He is a superhero.
That's but what fun to be in the audience for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love those moments.
Yeah.
Have you had any whoopsies?
I'm trying to remember any whoopsies. Most of mine have been during rehearsal.
Okay.
I've been lucky enough. Mm-hmm. But I've had a close call of, you know, my hat almost falling off because I bumped it into Simba's as we were nuzzling each other in Can You Feel? But that's the least of our worries.
What's a little head bump in nuzzling?
What's a little head bump?
Yeah.
Ooh, I have had my mic not work when I had a new head.
Oh.
And our Simba, Brandon McCall, we were doing the argument scene after Can You Feel? And my mic just kept cutting. And he worked with me, we were speaking into each other's mic. I was speaking into his mic. And he just changed the choreography to help me not to have to project to 2,000 people. But yeah, it's been sound for me.
And when you have those moments, you probably click into a really kind of authentic, like, nothing will wake you up like that, and have, once again, being very present in the moment.
The best. I think those make the best of memories.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, because you have to kind of, without speaking, come together on an agreement of how we're going to get through this.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the teamwork that happens.
That happens.
It's you have no choice but to bond.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about the reaction that you've experienced from audiences, and particularly, it's so moving for anyone who gets to see it. And I talk a little bit at the top of the show about my reaction to finally sitting in the theater and watching it happen. But I also think young people who get to see this, maybe some of them their very first theatrical experience or Broadway show, certainly. What do you hear from them, or what do you even hear from the audience as they're taking the spectacle in?
So at the beginning of the show, I am in the elephant.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is so wonderful to walk down the aisle and see a big, grown, strong man crying. And I decide who I'm doing the show for that night.
Oh.
Because, excuse me, you look at them and they're trying to hold it together. I see some of them, they'll have their phones there with the game on or something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Those guys.
But then, you know, Rafiki catches them and then I see them and they're like, and then the face gets flushed, and then you see them wiping the corners of the eyes, because that is just such a communal moment, and it's just a beautiful moment. And there was something else that you asked that I wanted to answer. What was the second thing that you said?
Young people. Mm. Was there young people's reaction, or what you hear from the audience?
Reaction. Okay.
Yeah.
So I have one. Scar. We were out, and there was, it wasn't you, Stephen. I think it was Derek Smith. But he said, he used to say, when you're doing a day with the walk with Simba. And somebody in the audience yelled out to him, "No, no, don't go." I was like, "Oh, okay. We're having a moment."
But they're with us.
Yeah. They're with us all the way.
But The Lion King's amazing, isn't it? Like, when you come out of stage door every night and you meet people.
Yeah.
And it's like, no matter what age they are, 8 or 80, 88, it's the first Broadway show they've ever seen. They could be the first time. And it's just such a wonderful, and going back to, like, you know, the first time I saw it was like when I got the part, you know, after having lied and said I'd seen it. And then I was like, you know, invited to go and watch it. And I could not believe it. You know, the moment the elephant comes down, that big opening, the best opening of any Broadway show I've ever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's, and I was bawling. Mm. And the whole audience was bawling.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you think of those people. It's the first time they've ever been to the Broadway show, and you have that responsibility to go out, as Benita says, and give your absolute 100% best.
You're going to say what I say? I say we honor the story in telling this story, because this is someone's first experience with theater, and this is someone's last, someone's last experience with theater.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think the most impactful reaction I think I've ever seen was in Madrid. There was this little child who in Madrid we would do a warm-up together, vocal warm-up, and this one day they brought this child and they said, we need to sing one by one to him, and that's the song that opens to the second act. And so I was like, okay. And I asked what this was about. Turns out that this little boy learned how to speak during the Circle of Life in the show. He had a mental condition, I don't know what it is, that made him somewhat nonverbal. Oh. And he hadn't spoken a word before. But because of everything that was going on, that was so, it was so emotional, he started shouting from the audience, "Jirafa! Elefante!" And he started to speak in that show. And it reminds me all the time that I know that this, that what we're doing, it heals people.
Mm. Yes.
And we know it firsthand because it heals us too.
Yes.
You know, on the stage, and we speak and we get to release things. But that, and when that little boy was dancing, he learned to be social and talk to people. And he'd come hug us and shake our hands. And they said that this behavior is new.
Wow. Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's. Do you feel a responsibility then to, because you, for that, for every one story that you get to be a part of, there are countless stories that you will never know.
Yes.
The way that you impact somebody's trajectory of somebody's life. That's so beautiful. And going back to the opening number, I think there's nothing can actually prepare you. You can watch all the clips. You can be an old jaded theater queen like myself and not see it for 8 years into the run and go in, and you're just not prepared for the actual visceral experience of being inside of that. It's an experience. There's no separation at that time from what's happening with the actors and you. Speaking of actors, I want to ask, this is a little bit more on the surface. I know we've gone to a beautiful place here, but very often as actors, we get we take the jobs that we get, and we don't know if those jobs are going to last. We don't know if those jobs are going to bear any fruit, if we're going to be able to save up for the condo or get cable this year or not.
Right.
But when you're in The Lion King, life's pretty good. What is the experience of being in a show that you don't know has legs and being in a show that you're bonded to your legs?
That's a good question.
That's a great question, isn't it?
Legs.
How dare.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, especially after the pandemic. You know, when everything is closing, or big productions are closing, and then you think, wow, we are in this magical production that, you know, that is going to... probably going to stay open, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just wonderful. And I don't know. I just feel very, very lucky. And, you know, I live down the road with my wife and my new baby, you know.
Oh,
and it's
new
just
baby.
A wonderful feeling to go out the road and be in the best show that Broadway's ever seen, in the best city that's ever been. You know, it's really, really, it's a tremendous feeling.
I think you raise a really good point about the pandemic and how everything had to stop, where even a show that had lasted this long had to just pause. And when you're in a show that's been so successful everywhere it's been, it's easy to take for granted the next show that you do. And since then, there's just a new level of gratitude, not just for the show itself, but to have the people around you that you that are there. It's it's something that I definitely cannot take for granted. And seeing people express themselves in a way that's inspiring every night for so long, that in itself is inspiring.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I learn a lot from these guys. They've been in the show for a while, and I just see how they give and give and give of themselves. But it's it inspires.
How long have each of you been in the show?
I've been in this show 18 years.
My jaw just hit the floor.
2004.
Okay, then this is,
2022. That's 18, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's magical to me. That's I love the appreciation as an actor of going, this is such wonderful work. This is a wonderful career. This is a wonderful place to be. Wow, 18 years. That's
18 years. And people ask me, do you get tired?
Yeah.
No. Every night is a different show for me. Every night, the show means something different to me. Every single night. And I'm so grateful. I booked this 2 months out of graduate school.
Yeah.
So I love the show. They are my family. They are my extended family. I have done all of my grown-up things with these people.
Yes.
I've gotten married. I've had children. You know, I've gotten certification, all kinds of things with these people. You know, Stephen.
You know, it's not just a show. Pearl. It's like you know,
we're family.
We're family. Nowhere else could you get Bonita across the hallway taking the Mickey out of your, you know,
how dare.
Do you know that
during the pandemic, for my birthday, I live in Jersey. This man rang my doorbell on my birthday and brought me the most wonderful rosé that he bought at a farmer's market.
Can I just say, that's really lovely of me. And I said to her, I said, do you like rosé? She said, no.
No.
But it was the thought that count.
Yes.
It meant something to me. And truly, on that same day, it was the first, I lose time with this pandemic, but it was the first summer that we had. August. And people showed up at my house from the show. L. Stephen Taylor showed up.
I love him.
Sidi Magne, who plays Rafiki. She came. She made red velvet cupcakes. Somebody brought me a rotisserie chicken from Costco. And they stayed. And we stayed at my house until 4 a.m. And
you learn very early. You have to keep Bonita Hamilton happy. So whatever you can do,
do you
as
know
soon
that
as
I
you get
that?
There, you know, it's in the contract.
I want, you know, but
whatever
I want
you do,
to keep you happy.
If you want a good time in the line, keep Bonita happy.
Or you can live dangerously.
Can we?
Yeah.
Pearl lives on the edge.
The call is coming from inside the house. She likes to test the limits.
She tests the limits every day. I said, Pearl, I call her Petty Pearl. She's got a PhD in petty. Ooh. And it's beautiful.
She's
look
proud
at her.
Of it.
That's
she's
the
proud
petty
of it.
Look.
She worked hard for it.
Do you see it?
I just whisk my hair to the side, even if I'm wearing a head. What's this? A hair prep, and I don't have any hair out
there.
And do you see that smile?
Uh huh.
It's that's
mischievous.
It.
Just a little to the side.
It's Shenzi.
It's Shenzi, but Shenzi bites.
Uh huh. Wait, bro, how long have you been in the show?
So I've been in the show in this production since 2018. So that's about 4 years. Yes.
Well, yeah.
And then,
given whatever.
And then
the
about
pandemic.
Six. Yeah. Years in total, but in the role of Nala, I'm coming up on 7 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm still a baby in it.
You're just a tiny baby Nala.
It's a baby Nala. And I'm enjoying myself so much, so much. And I think having understudied the role before and had been around, you know, the principal hallway and learning about how things go backstage and how they support each other backstage, I just sort of felt comfortable walking in. I had no qualms or fears or worries. I just knew I'm supported. Let's just step in and go.
But
it's, yeah, it's...
Pearl is an incredible Rafiki cover also.
Ooh.
Beautiful.
Oh,
stunning.
Yeah.
I understudied Rafiki as well.
Oh my gosh.
I never thought that was possible for me until I got the contract to come. Yeah, I said, okay, we'll do it.
Ooh.
If there's one thing about me, if there's music involved, I'm going to jump. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
In fact, we have sheet music for you right now.
Thank you very, very much.
Absolutely.
Am I allowed to ask a question to Pearl Kwesi?
I wish you would.
Sorry to, I know it's your show, but you know.
This is what I want.
If you're ever out, you know. Pearl Kwesi, like, because you were the understudy for, a year or 2 years. And you're amazing. What was it like when you got the call to then take over as Nala? As being the first South African person to play, you know.
To be honest, I got a stomach ache from the shock.
Really?
Mm. I just, it never crossed my mind, even as an understudy. I was so happy being an understudy and in my track. I was just so happy to do the show. And every day I was so inspired in the ensemble. I said, wait, really?
Yeah.
And I remember just calling my mother, because that's what I do. If anything happens, I'm calling my mother. I said, are you sitting down? I just got a call and they're offering me Nala.
Mm.
And she said, wait, do they...
Is mom in South Africa?
She's in South Africa. She said, do South Africans do that over there? I said, well, now they do.
Oh.
Wow.
Drop the mic.
There it is.
Bonk. I cried.
Now they do.
Now they do. Yes.
And I remember I got that phone call. I was in the doctor's office and I had to sort of tell him, excuse me, because when I heard who was on the phone... I said, I'm so sorry, I'm going to have to take this call. And he told me what was going on. And I said, I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. I'll call you back. And I told the doctor, we cried together with the doctor. He called the nurses in. We cried together. But yeah, it was, I think I'm still processing certain parts, certain aspects of it. There's still times when I leave the show and my picture is up there. And yeah. I stand and I think, 4 years ago when I arrived in this country, if you would have told me even a year ago that this would be my reality, that when little girls who look like me look at that photo of me up there and say, oh my goodness, look, she's so beautiful, she's so beautiful. And when they'd seen me on stage being a warrior, not just being beautiful, she's a general, and she leads the lionesses in war. And they see themselves doing that. I remember just a couple of weeks ago, I was on the phone with my brother, and I was going to watch, what's the movie that just came out?
Wakanda Forever.
Loved it.
So I was going to watch that, and we had just done the night before a concert at Columbus Circle, a Christmas concert, and a little girl, well, she wasn't little, she was like 18 years old. She was with her mother, and I was walking into the theater, and she says to me, excuse me, are you on Broadway? And I said, oh, yes. And she said, you're Nala, aren't you? You're Nala. Could we please take a picture with you? Could we please take a picture with you? We know you're going to watch the movie, but please, please, please. And so I said to my brother, hold on, I'll call you just now. And we took the picture, and she looked at me and said, I want to be Nala too. And I said, you can.
Yeah.
And I had no doubt in my mind that if a girl from Margate, South Africa, a small town where everybody knows everybody, it's small even in South Africa, could find her way to have her face on in Times Square I'm still processing all those things, but it just I get to walk in gratitude.
Absolutely.
That's lovely.
That little girl will remember that moment for the rest of her life.
Yes, she will.
18-year-old girl, whoever that girl is, she's thinking about that every day.
And I'm still thinking about it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sensational. Oh. I feel like you had a thought in your heart.
Not in my heart.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
It's not there.
Isn't one there. But I just want to say, like, when she sings her song, it's miraculous. Oof. Like, the audience at the end is it's incredible.
Well, I need to come see the show again.
Yes.
That's what needs to happen now that I can cheer you all on specifically. Mm-hmm. What are your individually favorite moments to perform in the show? Go, Stephen.
I love it when I've killed Mufasa and he's all dead, yeah, on the floor. And then the little Simba runs on him. Dad, help me. Where is he? Where is he? And then he sees the dead dad on the floor. And he's like, help, help, help. And then I come on and I think, because I think they're both dead. But then suddenly I see him and I think I'm going to play. And then I say, Simba, what have you done? You know, and I put it on him. He's killed his own.
Gaslighting.
Gaslighting.
101.
Yeah. And then I want to have a little play with him, like a little cat and mouse. And I say, run away, never return. But of course, I don't want to run away. I'm going to get the hyenas to go and kill him.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, it's just so delicious.
It is so delicious.
It's fun playing the villain, right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes.
That was the thought in his heart.
That was it.
Manipulative.
Yes. I would say my favorite would be the end of Shadowland. Because I get to leave all of everything over there. Whatever kind of day I was having, I leave it right there. And I leave the stage with nothing. It's every day when I do Shadowland, I channel specific people. I will either channel my mother. I will channel anyone that I've ever met that's had an impact on me. And there's days when I channel the ladies that I walk on stage with, specific ladies. Yesterday it was Angelica. Oh. And I learned so much. In a show that's been here for so long, you learn so much from the women around you. And that show, that part of the show, not only is it like the only scene of the show that's just got only the women.
Yeah.
And they're just all so supportive of Nala. And there's just something about how overwhelming this whole experience can be. But that moment is just a prayer. It's a silent moment. But then at the end, I just get to let rip whatever's been in my heart or whatever my day. If it's been terrible, I leave it over there. If it's been great, I leave it over there. And if I've seen something or I learned something that's been inspired by any one of the ladies, I sing to them over there. So that's my favorite moment.
Why do I feel like I've wanted to cry several times throughout this conversation?
You know, this young lady is the wisest young woman I've ever met. And she speaks in parables. Have you noticed that?
Oh, no, I don't know.
I speak Xhosa. That's just how my language is.
Oh,
so
my God.
It's musical. It's...
Petty Parables.
Petty Pearl with her parables.
Petty Pearl with her parables.
All I need now is a fan just to let my hair
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely. Or just your wig prep.
Honey,
just my wig prep.
The wig prep. Well,
but the wind's still there.
Yes,
it's
yes.
In the
you
contract.
Can imagine. You can imagine.
I do, and I am, and I do.
Yes.
What's your favorite moment to perform?
Ooh, I feel kind of silly. Is what?
It's your new bit.
What new bit?
Do you have a new bit?
Oh,
do you
have it? She put.
God,
put
that's
this
not
new
what
bit.
I was going to say.
18 years later, there's a new bit.
Laughter. I howl with laughter. I'm not supposed to. Scar laughs. It's within the play. Scar laughs. If everyone's living in the bosses.
Yes.
It's the most funniest thing I've ever seen.
What is it?
Okay.
Anita.
So for 18 years, I've struggled with this bit because, thank you, Stephen.
I just remembered.
It's when, you know, Shenzi does the do it again, Mufasa, Mufasa, Mufasa.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That has been my least favorite part of the show.
Okay.
Because I, can I say this,
no.
Michael?
She gets very excited. Okay. She gets very excited in her physicality, don't you?
I get very excited when I hear his name. It's Mufasa, and I say, do it again. Do it again. And I get excited and I work myself into a rhythmic frenzy.
Oh,
that's very good.
I do like a rhythmic frenzy.
Woo! Mm-hmm. And
but it's sensational. It's sensational.
But that wasn't my favorite part. But okay, that was it.
But now it's his favorite part.
It's his favorite part. And I came off stage after doing it one day. I felt so silly because I feel like you have to be organic on stage. And I am a huge fan of authenticity. People buy into it.
Yeah.
And he never gives me a compliment ever. And we were under the rock waiting for the eulogy. He always says his lines for the whole eulogy. And I try to throw him off a little bit. But he said, Benita, that was so funny. You were so funny. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, that bit, your bit. I said, what bit? And he said, you know, do it again. I said, really?
Oh,
okay.
Now he's planted the seed, and now you're going to try to work that rhythmic frenzy.
Oh,
frenzier
please.
And frenzier.
It's a whole act now. It's grown and grown. It's huge.
Listen, it's your moment.
Do you understand that he dropped that seed just so he could say it's a whole act?
Sure. It took a while.
He's been waiting.
We just cut to that bit.
Yes. Yes. So.
I feel like I could talk to you all for hours and hours and hours, but I simply can't. I've got to let you go at some point. I love that.
I want all of my guests to groan sadly
when it comes time to let everybody go. But I just want you to know this has been so, I've learned so much and I have felt so much talking to you. And I think that's reflective of the show because it is so special and so, I mean, you're a dead corpse if you're not feeling things. At this show. Thank you for sharing with all of us, for people who are listening all over the world. And thanks for spending your time with us. And I can't wait to come see the show.
Oh my gosh.
I keep looking over my shoulder.
Right, wink, wink, nudge.
I would love to come see the show to the Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
I am the Ticketmaster.
Sorry.
Well, continued success. Long may the Lion King reign. And it's been an absolute pleasure, my friends.
Thank you so much for having us. It's been a pleasure.
Yes. Thank you.
What a wonderful time.
Bye-bye. Well, my goodness, if you didn't love the show and want to see the show for the first time or again after that, then I don't know what's wrong with you. I want to say thank you so much to our incredible cast members who have joined us. Thank you, Benita, Pearl, and Stephen. May long the Lion King reign. All right, friends, until next time, I'm your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron. Make sure you follow the show on social media at The Broadway Cast. Follow me at Ben Does Broadway. Rate, review us, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you want to support us further, remember, you can support us on Patreon, and that would be fun for you. And we'll make content just for you, only you. All right, we will see you next time. This is your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, once again saying have a great show.